Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
Our real or fake winner, Miles, just did something very nice. Coming up at the end of this segment, he said, you know what? I don't need the prize. I bet there's someone out there who needs it.
That's
more.
Amazing.
He wants to donate it back. So at the end of this segment, we will look for a listener to call in to win that family four-pack of Jersey Mike sandwiches. So stay tuned for that. I want to thank Miles.
Thank you very much, Miles.
Being selfless.
My wife would have yelled at me for giving away those sandwiches.
And I just wouldn't have given them away at all. Because
just would have eaten them.
I just would have eaten them.
And you would have taken all four for yourself.
I would have given one away.
One to Shelly.
Three for me, one for Shelly.
Three for you,
no,
one for
No, one for the kids, one for Shelly, two for me.
Two starving children.
Yeah.
Dad, please.
So that was very generous of him. Coming up later this hour, we will do a coronavirus check-in and talk a little baseball with Dan Zimborski, our friend from FanGraphs, also ESPN contributor on our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU remains open. Rest assured, your funds are federally insured by the NCUA. For details or to find a branch open near you, visit SDCCU.com. So that's coming up at 7:35. We'll have Don't Do This coming up in about 15 minutes. But Woods, I did my homework this weekend. I think everyone did.
Proud of you.
We assigned it out to our listeners as well if they wanted to join us on this journey. Let's get it started.
Tell all the hunters to lay down their guns. Tell them that the tiger needs a little bit of love. Let them run the jungle. Let them roam their land. Then stand back and marvel. What a beautiful.
Here we go. All together now.
Let's get it.
Cause I saw a tiger. Now I understand. I saw a tiger.
Better than most new country that's on the radio right
that
now.
Could be
is
on.
That actually Joe Exotic
so,
singing?
So, it's interesting you bring that
because
point up,
the,
now, the lyrics you can say you like or you don't like, but the actual voice is pretty good.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting. Turned on. Now, I'm way late to the party, but I wanted to let it simmer for a while.
Yeah, we know all of you have already probably streamed this whole thing.
100%.
We're new to Tiger King.
We are. We are, and I wanted to, I specifically waited, because I want, you know, I don't want to do a show where everyone's like, I haven't gotten to it yet. Everyone in the world has watched the show but us. And so we started this weekend with Netflix's Tiger King, and we have made the pact to just go one episode at a time. Well, we being Ben and I, Paul, binged the entire thing. Yeah. You couldn't stop yourself, could you?
Oh, quite frankly, I forgot that
all
we
right.
were doing that.
That's
but
fair.
Even if I remembered, there's
you
no
would
way
have
I
done
was,
it. All
there's
right.
no way I was stopping after one episode.
So we start with episode one, Not Your Average Joe. And we are introduced to the cast of characters. Now, Ben, when I first saw that music video of Joe Exotic, zoo owner, big cat owner,
whose actual name is what? Joe Schreivogel or something?
Yeah. Schreivogel. I would go by Joe Exotic as well. When we first saw the video, I looked at my wife. I go, that doesn't sound like him. She goes, yeah, it does. I go, no, that doesn't sound like. So I did a little research. It's not him.
Ah.
Guy's full of ass.
I already figured that out.
Well, yeah.
The first episode.
Like, if I told you, hey, Woodsy, Toby Keith wrote a song about tigers.
Yeah.
You wouldn't. Doesn't sound like something you
100%. Write. So Preston Clint is a guy that lives in Brush Prairie, Washington, says his dad was the one who actually performed these songs. Every time dad's voice would come on, it was pretty mind-boggling. He says the singer-songwriter went by Danny C. He lived in Vancouver, Washington. So a different songwriter, a different singer. He says it wasn't until his son Preston watched Tiger King that he realized all the credit Joe Exotic had been taking from his dad, whose voice he hasn't heard since he passed away in October of 2019. So that's one little offshoot in just of episode one that we figured out this morning. So we are introduced to the man who calls himself Joe Exotic. And if you wanted to paint a character, create a character out of thin air, you couldn't have come up with Joe Exotic. You just couldn't have. He is a flamboyant, different, colorful, gay
mulleted.
Man. Mulleted gay man with a bleached blonde top and a long mullet in the back. He wears a sidearm on his hip. A
lot of tattoos.
Very skinny. And it's
bit of a cult leader personality.
A little bit. I mean, you can see how people, you know, the people that are down and out, and they need a job and a place to feel at home, would flock to Joe Exotic.
He seems genuinely passionate about his big cats.
He does.
His tigers and leopards.
So
not in necessarily a bad way. I mean, there's certainly some exploitation and some issues of exploitation going on here. But at least from what I saw in the first episode, say what you want about him, he does love those animals, I think.
I think so, too. And we haven't seen any past the first episode. So initial impressions, Joe Exotic, in my mind when I saw it, I went, I'm in. I need to know as much about Joe Exotic as I can. Now, they do go to a live phone call or a phone call from him from the county jail, so we are to assume that he is in jail.
That's like in the present day,
yes.
Or close to present day. And then they go back to 5 years ago when this documentary started being made, and he was clearly not in jail or being accused of anything illicit, at least at that point, other than by the animal activist, who are another character in the episode, the big cat rescue animal sanctuary people who are at odds with Joe Exotic and his private zoo in Oklahoma.
Now, the woman we meet in episode one is a woman named Carol Baskin. And my initial very first impression was, oh, what a nice, sweet lady. Seems to have her heart in the right place and doesn't like what Joe Exotic does. And I think it's fair to ascertain, Ben, from the first episode that Carol Baskin is really no better than Joe Exotic. In fact, can I say that when I saw the setup that Carol Baskin had for her big cats, I thought to myself, well, that's worse than the setup that Joe Exotic has.
I also had that same thought, like, what's the difference between the big cat rescue and Joe Exotic's place?
But what is the difference?
To me, I think the main difference is that Joe is breeding more cats. He's creating more captive cats, where Carol is just taking care of the ones that are already out there and letting them live out their lives. But she's not creating any more that then stay in captivity. I think that is a pretty big distinction, actually.
Do we know for a fact he was breeding?
Oh, yeah.
We do?
Oh, absolutely.
Did I miss that?
Yeah, no, yeah. They had hundreds of them. That's all the little ones that they
the
pet.
The little ones, yeah.
The little ones, yeah. Those are the breeded tigers, and they take pictures with them. And I mean, the amount that people pay to go to his zoo. What's the name of the zoo again?
GW
Zoo.
GW, yeah.
is insane.
Greater Wynwood Exotic Animal Park, a.k.a. the GW Zoo.
I mean, people are paying hundreds of dollars. Like, this is like four times what Disneyland would cost just to go in and see these tigers and lions and leopards up close. I had no idea that there was this kind of demand for big cat encounters in this country.
Now, PETA, the people, what is it?
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
Now, they are on Carol's side. They are not on Joe's side. There's another weird ancillary character named Doc Antle, who is just as weird as it gets. He rides in. He also owns a zoo. He rides into his presentation on a giant elephant. And it is. These are the weirdest effing people that you could ever imagine. Again, you couldn't create them out of thin air. They're so hard to believe that they're real, and they are absolutely real.
And then there's all the ancillary characters work at Joe's Zoo.
Eric's amazing.
Rink, Saf. I mean,
Joe's former.
Where did they find all these people?
Alleys. Somewhere in Florida, I would guess. If I had to guess, I'd say they were found in an alley in Florida. We're talking three teeth. We're talking tattooed, shirtless, like, hey, man, I was at my end of my rope before I met Joe. I'm like, you were at the end of your rope then? What are you now? What would you consider yourself now, Eric? You got a guy with no legs. He's the manager of the thing. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Well, Joe every night streams his live television show from his zoo.
First thing I thought was, don't let my boss see this, because this guy works all day feeding 180 cats, and then he goes and does a live television show every night. And they said, you know, the most he ever had for a view was 80 viewers, right? And then he brought in this like producer that used to work on like
Inside Edition or something.
He worked with the guy, Bill. Why am I blanking right now?
On Inside Edition?
No, there was Bill O'Reilly. O'Reilly is talking about this guy. Everybody knows this producer. So the producer comes in and wants to like make it a real show. And I thought to myself, I'm like, this guy is serious. He's like, hey, where does your show air? He goes, oh, worldwide, on the internet, every night. He does a show every night. Thank you.
I know somebody that would kill for 80 views.
Oh, 100%, Pauly. So they are just talking about kind of the business in this one and how crazy it is and how many people flock to these things. Now, I will say, have you guys been to Lions, Tigers, and Bears? It's here.
I've heard of it. It's out in like Alpine. Yeah.
It's amazing. Hannah and I went a couple of years ago, and we actually get to feed a lion. Like, they're beautiful.
You're part of the problem.
Am I?
Some people would say that.
They're a sanctuary, though. They're not really a zoo.
Right.
They don't do like shows and stuff.
But they said everyone who goes and visits Joe's Zoo is part of the problem.
But that's how you help pay for the sanctuary is by,
right.
You know, hey, we're going to come in, we're going to feed. Like, we brought our own chicken and we fed lions and tigers. This one is much different than the ones that they're running down there. They're running them like circuses. And speaking of circus, it is a circus. These people's lives are crazy. They are crazy. I can't wait to see how this thing unfolds. But, I mean, the three characters we met, really the main characters, Doc Antle, Joe Exotic, and Carol Baskin, are on a collision course right now because we find that somebody, probably Joe Exotic, tried to have Carol Baskin whacked out. And when you hear his rants on his TV show, I mean, he's like, this bitch, Carol Baskin. I mean, you're just like, oh, my God, bro. Tamp it down a little bit. You're exposing yourself here.
He also threatens, you know, like a new Waco if anyone comes and tries to take his cats away.
Hey, y'all come on here.
Shut him down.
You're going to be a new Waco. I'm like, oh, boy. And the guy that's interviewing is like, I don't know. That's a big
and they've
thing
all
to say.
Are you saying what I think you're
saying,
Joe?
They're all armed to the teeth.
Yes.
I mean, you know, AK-47s and AR-15s and whatever. They've got all the weapons. You see them firing them all over the place.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying.
It's terrifying. And I can't wait to see how this thing unfolds. It is riveting. I'm going to have to wait until next weekend to watch episode 2. But if you guys are not on this thing, get on it now. Get on it. Stay on it. It is riveting.
It's also disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
And it's eye-opening as well because I had no idea this subculture existed.
How about noted Hall of Fame basketball player Shaquille O'Neal
right.
and his connection to Joe Exotic, which, by the way, he's like, I don't know this guy. I don't know this guy. Shaq, I saw you in the documentary. You're at this. You're at the thing.
He called him Exotic Joe.
Exotic Joe, yeah. Exotic. Yeah. Like,
and then did they imply Shaq actually bought a couple of Tigers himself?
They did. And I think Shaq does own Tigers.
I've got three words because it's tough for me. I don't remember exactly what was in episode one or episode three. So I've just kind of been holding back. But I got three words for you two. Just effing wait.
Yeah. That's what I hear, man. That is what I hear. I hear it just gets weirder and weirder and weirder. And I can't wait for next Monday at 7 o'clock because this is a banger by Netflix. And they're saying limited release, limited series. So hopefully it doesn't go away before we get done. We may have to ramp it up. But I can't imagine them taking this thing off. Every human in the world is tweeting.
Well, I don't know if there's any new footage to be had. If he's in prison now. And
right.
I have no idea what the...
They're calling it a limited release, or meaning I think limited in the amount of time it's going to be on Netflix.
Oh,
so they may pull it down, which would be asinine.
Well,
to
me. If you want to join us on this journey, feel free.
Please,
we're behind, so you may have already watched the whole thing, and then you can just enjoy us
enjoying
seeing it for the first time and going, oh, I can't wait until next week, guys.
I'll tell you right now, though, I don't trust Carol Baskin, not one bit. I really don't. I don't trust your creepy cuckold husband at all. Not one bit. Him following her around, telling her how great she is.
All of her cat print
all
clothes.
All of her cat print. She's allergic to cats, by the way. She's allergic to cats. I am insanely jealous when I see him on the couch with the little baby tigers, though. I would love one.
But after like 12 weeks, they turn into...
Yeah, they rip your face off. But not his. He's got a connection with them, Ben. Imagine being able to go into a pen with a giant, hey, come here, big guy. Put your arms on a giant tiger. How rad would that be?
No interest at all.
None for you?
I'm also allergic to cats. So.
I would love it. I really, really would. So, yeah, get on it. Tiger King on Netflix.
It's basically a giant series of Don't Do This.
Yeah, pretty
in
much.
My mind.
Pretty much.
Which is what we have coming up next. Woods?
Ben?
I have a very sad story during this time of a professional golfer and what happened to him over the weekend.
I can't wait to hear it.
We'll get to that coming up. It's Ben and Woods. Right now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Oh, yes. Don't forget. Yes, if you would like. If you need it. Miles wants this to go to someone who needs it.
I love this, man.
So if you want to win a four-pack of sandwiches from Jersey Mike's, call in. Tell Paul why you want them. 833-288-0973. If you need them, call. 833-288-0973. We'll pick a random caller in just a second. It's Ben and Woods. Now let's check traffic. Here's Kelly Danning.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Why?
With Ben and Woods.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
That is outrageous.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll chat with Dan Zimborski, our friend from FanGraphs. A little coronavirus check-in, talk a little baseball. That is moments away. First, though, three stories that make you shake your head. It is called Don't Do This. And Woods, I'll get it started. This is more of just sad, but in this time where we're all confined to our houses so much, it seems like one of the worst things that could happen would be to lose your house. That's what happened this weekend to two-time U.S. Ryder Cup captain, major championship winner Davis Love III, whose house in St. Simons Island, Georgia, burned to the ground. I mean, gorgeous, huge home. And there's a picture. I mean, this isn't like severely damaged. The whole thing.
Oh, man.
Completely burned down. Now, fortunately, no injuries. Love and his wife, Robin, were at home when the fire started.
Ugh.
Were able to escape without injury. But now they're kind of left homeless at this time when, you know, everyone needs to be confined to home. Of course, Love released a statement.
Sucks,
just says, while everyone in our family is saddened at the loss of our home that was filled with so much laughter and incredible memories, we're very blessed that everyone is safe and unharmed. We're very thankful to the first responders who made a valiant effort to save our home, keeping things in perspective as people across our community and around the world are struggling with the current unprecedented health crisis. So they're not looking for sympathy or donations, but I just... Can you imagine, like, if you didn't have a home right now, too?
I can't.
As hard as this is.
Hard as it is to have to go through that and, like, with kids and, I mean, he's got money, sure. He's got insurance that will cover it, sure. But the headache, you know, it's hard enough to go to the grocery store, Ben, and find paper towels. Imagine having a family you had to uproot and find a hotel or whatever.
Yeah, and I love that Davis Love he's doing his first season as an on-course reporter for CBS Sports. He didn't just go the Tony Romo route right to the right to the booth and be the main guy. He's like starting at the bottom as the on-course reporter, and he is uber prepared. I mean, he does pages and pages of notes. He is not just coasting by on his...
Just like me.
I was a pro golfer for years. I don't need to prepare for this stuff.
Pages and pages.
He is totally prepared. I love how he's
so many
bringing
notes.
That passion to the job. Yeah,
just notes for days. I will get us going here, secondly, Ben, with StubHub. They are currently in the torture chamber, as it were. Now, I know your guys' email inbox is filled every day with, "Hi, Ben. It's Jiffy Lube. I want you to know that I'm here for you. We at Jiffy Lube are here for you."
An important announcement regarding COVID-19.
100%. I've got 7,000 in my "Thank you for ordering from so-and-so vinyl. We're here for you, just so you know. Our COVID-19... I'm like, I don't care.
H&R Block has sanitized the internet for your protection during this
time. My Chase Bank card. Hey, you still have to pay your bill, numbnuts. So please send that in, but we really care about COVID-19. That is happening every day. Now, StubHub, 21 days ago, they sent a reassuring email to their customer. StubHub is here for you. Sent by Sukhinder Singh Cassidy, company president. Talking about their valued StubHub customer base. Nothing to worry about, guys. You're going to get refunds. Well, then, if you bought tickets on StubHub to maybe an NHL game, maybe an NBA game, Ben, they said you have two options. Receive a full refund of your purchase. Great. Or receive a coupon for $100. Coupon or coupon?
I say coupon.
I think I say coupon. All right. Receive a coupon for 120% of your original purchase. Now, 3 weeks later, they've announced a new policy.
No, I think I say coupon.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I think I say both.
Yeah, I mix it up. I think I mix it up as well. Now
keep everyone on their toes.
They've updated their policy again. No more refunds, guys. Only the 120% coupon.
Coupon.
Coupon, as it were. They are now no longer doing full refunds. They are just doing the coupon, which, you know, right now it seems like if I spent money on an event that didn't happen, I'm going to want my money back. And that 120%, that does that cover all the fees? Like when you buy from StubHub, I mean, it just kills you. The fees from Ticketmaster and StubHub and companies like that, they just kill you. And knowing you have no other option. So they are really under fire right now online, and I don't know what they're going to do. I really
don't.
They don't feel comfortable giving everyone a refund back for all the tickets they bought. It's in the billions of dollars.
Right. They've already used that money to probably pay employees everything, and it is hard. I understand that it's hard to do that.
I do.
I'm more now obsessed with the pronunciation of that word.
Of coupon.
So the Dijon mustard that you buy, the fancy kind.
Yeah.
Pardon me, but do you have any gray...
Poupon.
Poupon. That's P-O-U-P-O-N.
Yeah.
So coupon is C-O-U-P-O-N, so shouldn't it be...
Coupon.
Coupon.
Yeah,
coupon.
Gray coupon?
Coupon.
Oh, gray coupon.
Yeah. Coupon is not how you say it, so maybe it's coupon, not coupon.
Coupon.
If anyone knows the answer to this question, tweet us at Ben and Woods on the proper pronunciation of the word coupon/coupon. Probably some sort of regional differences. I don't know why now I care about this. I can't even tell you what I normally say. Crazy.
Coupon.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, thanks, Polly.
Coupon.
Coupon.
Wait, how's she say it?
Coup. Coup.
Coupon.
Coupon.
Not you.
That's coup.
Okay.
Coupon.
Finally, this could take the cake for worst idea of 2020 so far. Jay Williams, NBA commentator, former Chicago Bull, Duke Blue Devil, was talking on the Golic and Wingo show about the idea that we talked about it earlier, Brian Windhorst. How do you get the NBA back? Can you get everyone kind of in one location, two locations to facilitate the rest of the season? Find places where outbreaks are minimal so you can kind of control the environment. Well, here's Jay Williams' idea. Maybe, this is a quote, maybe you can take two of those massive cruise ships and there's testing before everybody goes on the ship. You allow the player and their immediate family, being their wife or their kids, to allow to go with them. You have an Eastern Conference cruise ship, and you have a Western Conference cruise ship. obviously they're being sterilized all the time, and media companies are able to drop their equipment in. You never really go to shore. You stay out on the cruise ships, and you build two courts on those cruise ships. I know fans may not be allowed to go, but still the broadcasting companies can actually broadcast these games. Team members and their family members can be isolated to a degree for that span of 40 days, whatever it may be. Then you're allowed to potentially have these games. You go right into the playoffs. Maybe you give a week for each team to prepare. You go right in for that Eastern Conference and Western Conference. Then you have the championship game on a cruise ship.
The last place on earth I'm getting ever, ever. And I'm telling you, when this is all behind us, you could offer me a cruise for a dollar, $1 to cruise around the world. Nope, I'm good.
This reminds me of a Saturday Night Live Weekend Update skit. I still remember. I think it was from when I was in college. Remember when Norm MacDonald?
Oh, God, he was amazing.
Used to be so dry. And there was an actual plan here. You know how we've tried to figure out our airport solution forever,
yeah.
And we've never... Lindbergh Field's too small. What are we going to do? Where are we going to put it? There was actually like a rendering of perhaps building a new airport out in the ocean on like pontoons, like a giant floating airport.
Wow.
They got a hold of this on Saturday Night Live, and I'll never forget Norm MacDonald's live. All a part of a plan by San Diego officials to have a major disaster. This is what NBA on a cruise ship just sounds to me like. Can we plan to like have a giant disaster?
Everyone's
sick. They've got coronavirus. They've got norovirus. The boat sinks.
There's no help whatsoever. Oh, my God. His greatest line on that ever. He's talking about OJ. And when he was talking about OJ Simpson, and he said, no, that's my lucky stabbing cap. And he's talking about the hat that OJ was wearing. He was the greatest. He was the greatest that's ever done Weekend Update. So uncomfortable.
I did love some Norm MacDonald. That is Don't Do This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
We keep our coronavirus check-ins going with our friends of the show. Dan Zimborski from FanGraphs is going to be with us. We'll talk a little baseball. What it's going to look like when the season gets underway. He also contributes to ESPN. That is coming up next with Ben Woods right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
'Cause I saw Tiger, now I understand. I saw Tiger, Tiger saw me.
Now, we're a little late to the game on Tiger
King. A little
King,
bit. It's fine.
Now at least I have an inkling as to what everyone's been talking about lately.
Everyone I can't believe you guys were able to stop at just one.
Everyone likes to be part of the discussion.
Well, my 2-year-old getting up from his nap made it a lot easier for me, Paulie, unfortunately. But our boy, Miserable Padre Fan, texted me. He goes, dude, this thing's not going to be relevant in like 7 weeks. You guys can't just do one a week.
I think I agree with him.
All right.
I think we might need to go Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
What up, Monday, Friday?
Monday, Friday.
All right, so Friday, 7 o'clock, we'll do the same thing.
Okay.
All right, suck it.
So Thursday night, watch episode 2.
That way we'll be done in less than a month.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, sounds good. All right, we are about to do a coronavirus check-in with Dan Zimborski from FanGraphs. First, though, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. All right, Woods, let's head out to our SDCCU fan hotline. And joining us from FanGraphs, also a contributor at ESPN, always enjoy talking with Dan Szymborski, joins us here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Dan, how you doing in this weird time of no baseball and coronavirus?
Hanging in there as best I can, guys. I mean, I'm healthy, and that's something.
That is something.
Good, which is, yeah, it's something. That's it wouldn't have seemed that exciting, you know, 6 months ago, saying, oh, you'll be healthy in March. But it's the weird times we're living in.
Yeah, that expression, well, at least you have your health, carries a lot of new meaning now. Yeah, a lot more weight than it used to.
Yeah, and in the sports world, I mean, just speaking, I mean, you guys know too, obviously, it's become kind of a surreal experience to turn on the TV and there's just no sports anywhere. I found myself just looking at an empty TV at times, thinking I can will sports back into existence. It hasn't worked yet, but I promise to keep trying.
Now, Dan, are you playing MLB The Show to kind of hang in or what?
Well, I play that anyway, but it's pretty much the only visual baseball, except like archives, that exists right now.
Yeah.
So I've had a lot of fun, you know, making my doughy composite character that's me in the game.
Oh, so you didn't do what I did. My composite character is actually 6'3", 205 instead of 6'1", 235. Mine is very lean, completely different from the real me. I was really living in fantasy land.
Yeah, I kind of feel weird lying to a video game.
That's
so
fair.
I tend to make characters that look like me. So I had this doughy fat picture with messy blonde hair, a terrible beard. Who doesn't throw very hard.
Amazing. So, and you're a pitcher. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I was a pitcher as a kid, so my fastball never got above 70, so I never became past being a kid as a pitcher. But it's a little experience of baseball in the world without baseball.
So, Dan, we should be one weekend now into the baseball season. One thing that a lot of sports fans, a lot of sports websites are doing without sports is they're projecting, simulating seasons. Now, you know, a lot of what you have done in the past is create projections for baseball players. What kind of use have your projections gone into now in trying to simulate what could be happening right now as opposed to what's not actually happening?
I'm still at the point where, you know, we're trying to figure out what's interesting to the readers. We're doing a live stream of MLB The Show tomorrow, actually, with live casting from FanGraphs writers. Just kind of a little, you know, a little fun experiment.
Because we did it.
Video game is the only thing that's happening.
Yeah, we did it. We did it last week, Dan. And I got to tell you, I Ben and I initially rolled our eyes at the idea. And then once we started watching the stream, I found myself making a snack, screaming at the iPad, you know, because so-and-so didn't get the job done in the ninth with runners on first and second, nobody out. I mean, I was legit upset, and it just goes to show you how important this game is in all our lives. So I'm telling you right now, prepare yourself to be angry or extremely happy if your team actually comes through, because, like you said, it's all we have right now, and it really worked. It really worked.
Yeah, I mean the graphics of these games have improved, you know, immensely over 30 years. I grew up playing RBI baseball and
worst.
Baseball Stars.
The worst.
Great games, but of course they're not, as graphically advanced as the ones today. Where if someone who's like in the room, I mean, it's not at the point where you watch it and you think it's real because it's obviously a game. But if you're kind of just in the sidelines of the room and you see out of the corner of your eye, it's at the point where it kind of looks like a real game and kind of sounds like a real game.
Yep.
The that NASCAR game, they've been doing their kind of esports version of NASCAR. That almost looks like the real thing. I mean, if you are not looking closely, you're like, wow, this thing
is pretty awesome.
Realistic looking.
Yeah, cars translate really well to video games.
Yeah.
I was pretty happy this year for the show that I convinced them to put Szymborski in as a spoken name in the game so that when my player goes on it, Viskerjan and the PA guy says Szymborski. So that made my day, even if there was no baseball otherwise.
It's really interesting. We're talking to Dan Szymborski here from FanGraphs and contributor to ESPN as well. I was looking at something this weekend, and I applaud you for not doing this yet. Okay, you may end up doing it, but somebody, I believe he was a radio host in New York, essentially put out there, he did some advanced metrics dive on Joey Votto against Tony Gwynn. Did you see this?
I actually did not. It's actually interesting.
It's crazy. And you look at it, and he's like, I'd take Joey Votto. And, of course, Padre fans went absolutely bananas. Bananas, as they should. But is that something you guys have thought about doing? You know, just ruining all of our dreams. And maybe our favorite player wasn't as good as we thought.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends how starved we are for baseball. I mean, Votto and Gwynn, it's weird comparing them because they have similarities in that they're both very, very, very skilled hitters, but they're different kinds of players. So it feels a little weird. I'd want to, do Votto against, say, the best slugging first baseman and dig into that. I think it's a more interesting comparison. But, you know, it's fun to look at things because, I mean, Sabermetrics essentially got started not to do whiz-bang stats, but it was simply to ask questions about baseball. And that's really what all Sabermetrics and analytics derive from, just asking questions. So there's lots of questions to explore out there, I guess is the best way to put it.
You know, Woods, I'm glad you brought up Tony Gwynn, because I do want to ask Dan this question. We're talking to Dan Zimborski from Fangraphs here on Ben and Woods. When comparing players from different eras, it's, how do you make concessions for the fact, when Tony Gwynn was playing, he executed what he was kind of supposed to be doing. Now, later in his career, when, you know, things started to change a little bit and he had a famous conversation with Ted Williams, he started adding some more power to his game. You know, I think he hit, about 20 home runs. And had he wanted to do that, I have no doubt that Tony Gwynn probably could have had a higher slugging percentage, maybe a slightly lower batting average, maybe would have struck out a few more times. But that's not what he was trying to do. He executed what he was trying to do. And in different eras of baseball, different things were valued. So it's hard to necessarily compare. You can say, Tony Gwynn's OPS wasn't as high as a player, you know, further down the line. But, you know, Tony Gwynn wasn't trying to work walks. He was trying to get on base via base hits. That's what he was kind of told to do in that era. It makes it harder to compare guys from now and then.
Yeah, it's always kind of tricky because the question is, when you're looking at statistics, is what exactly are you looking for? Are you looking for how well a player performed, how many wins he created for his team? And those are almost two different questions in a way. But, I mean, the good news with Gwynn is that he did have high on-base percentages. I mean, he was near 400 for his career. His WAR is easy Hall of Fame territory. So it's not like he got totally hosed by the Sabermetrics.
No. But who's the biggest, in your opinion, or some of the work you've done, what's the weirdest anomaly that you've found going back into some old players? Players from foregone eras that you look at and go, man, you know, in today's era, he'd be a four-win player, you know, whatever. Are there any that jump off the page at you, the weird ones?
Well, a lot of there used to be this very rare breed of extremely high on-base percentage player with, no power that they weren't really, they didn't get a lot of attention. I think of, Eddie Yost, Juice, there were lots of players like that. One of the most fun things I always have looking at baseball history is there's a phenomenon that analyst Sherry Nichols 25 years ago called the Nichols Law of Catcher Defense, in which automatically a catcher's defensive reputation is inversely proportional to their offensive reputation. If you remember Mickey Tettleton, when he was a prospect with the A's, he was considered a glove-only player. Then he got to the majors, and he hit, and that kind of reversed. That's always fun looking back in history, because you see some of these really, really awful hitting catchers that just got a lot of just love from, MVP voters at the time. Some of Rick Farrell's seasons. There was always a joke that Rick Farrell made the Hall of Fame because they accidentally saw his brother Wes's stats and not his. But it's interesting how the positions develop.
Well, we certainly have seen it here in San Diego. Each year, Austin Hedges hits less and less, and people talk more and more about his pitch framing skills and his how many runs he saves behind the plate defensively, more and more inversely proportionate to how poorly he's hitting. I think he hit 185 last year.
Yeah, and of course the thing is that there is a good justification for his defensive value, because you look even at advanced stats, things like his pitch framing numbers were actually pretty solid. He actually came out safely above replacement despite an OPS that looked almost pitcher-like. in 2019.
Dan, on the converse, who are some players throughout history that you think were overrated? You know, by the public, by fans, but the numbers didn't really bear out that they weren't. They didn't contribute as much as people kind of thought they did, at least in their minds.
A lot of kind of the low on base percentage sluggers have been kind of overrated in history. I mean, we still count home runs, but we count on base percentage too. Back in the 90s, it was taken almost as gospel that Joe Carter would get serious Hall of Fame consideration.
Yeah.
But, you know, after he retired, they looked back at his on-base percentages, and he was barely 300 for his career. And they looked at his interaction with the team, and yeah, he drove in a lot of runs, but the players behind him in the lineup had a lot fewer RBIs than you'd expect, because those – every player has kind of a dual duty to get on base and advance runners.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even a slugger is going to lead off a lot of innings. And the analytics revolution, let's just call it, had advanced far enough by the time that his vote actually came up in, I think, 2004 or so. He didn't get a lot of consideration. And that would have surprised me back in the 90s as a teenager.
Dan, what do you think the implications are going to be of the agreement between baseball and the union on service time for 2020? You know, if there doesn't end up being a season, prorated service time, prorated contracts, and how that's all going to shake out?
Well, the good news is that if they can resume the season, ironing out that service time issue was a really big deal, and I don't think people appreciate it. The players gave up a lot in money and the ability to sue in return for that service time guarantee, because you push everybody a year away from free agency. That's literally $20 or $30 million that they lose on their next contracts, because players aren't usually like Manny Machado or Alex Rodriguez entering free agency in their mid-20s. These guys are entering free agency, you know, at 29, 30, 31 in most cases. And to lose a year is extremely damaging to their next contract. So players were willing to give up a lot in that guaranteed salary in return to be able to get that guarantee of service time. I think that if we don't have a season, though, there's the usual very, very awkward consequences. For instance, the Dodgers trading for Mookie Betts and never getting Mookie Betts.
God.
And there's so much going on in the world to be upset about. There's just like a little room to be upset about baseball things, but you have to feel that it's some kind of baseball karma unfairness that the Red Sox would be the big winners in this situation.
It's always fun to chat with Dan.
It is.
You know, man. We always enjoy these conversations. Dan,
and
really
by the way,
yeah.
Dan, I just threw some chum into the water and retweeted for all of our listeners the Votto-Gwynn debate that was going on. If you'd like to weigh in, it was a guy named Chris Towers from CBS. He's senior editor.
Chris.
Yeah, there you go. So he threw it out there. Votto was a better hitter than Tony Gwynn. So I retweeted it. I'm bored. You know, I like to see the world burn right now. So let's go.
Yeah, well,
Padre fans can weigh in.
I always say that part of being a writer is in fact trolling.
Yes.
Because if you're not telling people things they don't want to hear, then it's propaganda. So you are trolling a little bit at all times.
Yeah, radio hosts the exact same thing. It's part of our job.
Like when I get people mad about when I rag on Eric Hosmer.
Oh my. Now you don't get any, really not too many people mad in San Diego when
no,
you do
No, you've
that.
Actually converted some people as well.
Yeah, you
have disciples here, unfortunately for Eric, that are starting
to believe. It's hard to
every
deny.
Time he grounds out to second, Dan.
You're like, that's what Dan said he was going to do.
Yeah, I at least I'm still allowed in San Diego. I'm not sure if I'm allowed in Denver after all my Ian Desmond writing.
Dan, appreciate it. Great stuff as always. You take care. Stay healthy.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for having me.
That's Dan Zimborski.
That was great.
A little coronavirus check-in on our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU remains open. Rest assured, your funds are federally insured by the NCUA. For details or to find a branch open near you, visit SDCCU.com.
I mean, Benny, you're starting a team. You get Tony Gwynn and Wright or Joey Votto at first. Who are you taking? I'm taking Tony Gwynn.
I'm taking
all day.
Tony Gwynn, but there is some bias there. I hate to make it sound like we don't think highly of Joey Votto.
I like Joey Votto highly
of Joey Votto.
But Joey Votto's probably not a Hall of Famer. Tony Gwynn was, you know, unquestionably a Hall of Famer.
He's not, but he is in a pretty incredible hitter.
He's a good hitter.
He's always been a really, really good hitter.
Not always. Not last year. He wasn't a good hitter.
No. Tony was consistent.
Tony was always a good hitter. Every year.
Every year.
Like, he was unbelievable. Yeah, it's an asinine argument, which is it makes me beat my head against the wall.
Woodsy, we will be chatting with another of our friends, AJ Cassaville, our 97.3 The Fan Padres insider, will join us coming up at 8:35. Any Padres-specific information he's gleaned
a couple moves
last week.
A couple moves
to talk about for sure. That is coming up. Plus, talking about MLB The Show. Got an announcement next on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.